CTV.
Today, I'm going to talk to you about Dave Ward's response to my tough love letter. I'm going to talk about human philosophy in general, how damaging it is. And I'm going to talk about Jim Baskin and the kinds of people who just suddenly, they turn 180 degrees and they just stop believing vital truths of the scripture. My question is, were they ever believers in the first place? Can you be a believer and get whacked out of it? I don't see how it could happen. I lean toward a very important part of 1 Corinthians 15. When Paul is laying out the evangel, and he uses that word, feigned. I think they're more feigned believers than we realize. Anyway, greetings to you. I am Martin Zender, the world's most outspoken Bible scholar. Yes, the rumors are true. It's not bragging if you can do it. And before I get into all these wonderful things, I want to tell you something personal about myself. Oh, I apologize. First of all, I have a bit of a cold. I woke up with a sore throat. I've been slamming the vitamin C. I think I've taken 25,000 milligrams today, so it's all good. If I need to throw up, I'll just do it right under the table, and then we'll continue the show. Not a pause, not a break. The show must go on. The show will go on. I don't think I've told you one of my greatest influences in life. This person really, since I was so young and vulnerable to influence, I was really impressed by this man. And his way of doing business has influenced me to this day. And I was reminded of this when I was scoping around YouTube today and I saw a video clip of this individual. And I said, oh man, that man was my hero when I was 9, 10, 11 years old because I loved professional football. The man to whom I am referring is Dick Butkus. Dick Butkus. Even the name sounds profane, doesn't it? Dick Butkus. He was a middle linebacker for the Chicago Bears in the 60s. Mid-60s, I think he went into the early 70s. You might know him from the beer commercials. He used to do Miller Lite beer commercials back when they had the big controversy. You think we have scriptural controversies? Ho! The Miller Lite controversy was, does it taste great or is it less filling? See, both things are ideal for a beer, but the big argument was, well, I say it's more less filling than it is, than it does taste great. And that was the big argument Dick Butkus was in on. But this man was one of the greatest football players ever to live. I sent you two links at the bottom here. Two links. I want you to watch them. They're only like 4 minutes each. There's some highlight videos of Dick Butkus. Funny. Some of them, they're really funny. What's funny about it is, it's not really funny, but it's just this man's maniacal focus. He was a middle linebacker. His job was to stop the guy that's carrying the football. And he himself would stop at nothing to get that person. He had no regard for his body whatsoever. He would throw himself into dire situations just to tear somebody's head off. I mean, he just didn't want to tackle people. He wanted to plant them in the ground. One of the quotes that somebody makes of somebody who played in his era said that Dick Butkus didn't want to just put you in the hospital. He wanted to put you in the cemetery. But he just wanted to do his job, basically. He was intimidating. He was a man to be reckoned with. And I'm telling you, and he snarled on the line. He liked his growls. Like, I mean, he intimidated the best of football players. And I emulated him. I loved the focus. Paul even mentions having a single eye to Christ and the focus of seeing only Christ. Paul says, I determined to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. And when Jesus Christ is going to the cross, he sets his face like flint to go to Jerusalem. I just love this focus. And I'm the same way. There's nothing greater than being focused on something. Everything else disappears. Outside noise becomes white noise. And you get tunnel vision. And that's what Dick Butkus had. And if you had the football, you're in trouble. I mean, Butkus was after you. I apply that to the evangel in that I am a soldier on the wall of Paul's gospel. I've described myself that way many times because it's true. And I snarl up there. I'm looking for something that's gonna dilute Paul's gospel. A little piece of law, a little piece of, oh, there's only one gospel, not two. I just get, my focus narrows, my viewpoint becomes laser upon who did this, who said this, where is it? There it is. Start to snarl a little bit, start to growl, and off I go to take care of the problem, like Butkus. Yeah, on the playground, we used to play this game called Pinky Ball. We had those pink balls. It's called Pinky Ball. The name of the ball is Pinky Ball. And the game was very simple and very, very brutal in its simplicity, or very simple in its brutality. Somebody would throw the ball up in the air, and you just had to get it. Just catch the ball. Be the one out of 10, 15, 20 boys to catch the ball. And the one who catches it the most times before the bell rings to end recess, one of the saddest sounds I've ever experienced, wins the game. And somehow I won a lot. I won a lot because it was that maniacal focus. It was like, I got to get that thing. I'm sorry. Oh, was your nose in the way of my elbow? I apologize for that, but I got the ball. That's what counts. Oh, man. I learned so much from Dick Butkus. Love that guy. Watch the videos down here. All right, now I'm going to read to you Dave Ward's wonderful letter that he wrote in response to what you heard yesterday, my tough love letter that brought him back to his senses after he had wandered for a few days into the mixed up world of James Baskin. I'm going to get to him in a little bit. Okay? But for now, Dave Ward. In August, in fact, this was August 29th, 2016. You heard the letter I wrote to him yesterday. If you didn't, go to yesterday's show, MZTV 912, and you'll have the prelude to what I'm about to read you. Greetings to your brother. This is Dave to me. I'm just checking in to let you know I haven't checked out since the last time we talked. Had some processing to do and came to the conclusion that I really was not the great believer I thought I was. I discovered that it is only by God's mercy, grace, and love that I am one at all, and have found myself praising Him even more for deflating some of my own ego and allowing me the humility of seeing that I'm not foolproof. There is a great man of God right there. None of us are foolproof. None of us are immune from being deceived. Immune from making mistakes. We need to check up on each other. We need to guard each other. We need to listen to each other. Nobody's perfect. I'm susceptible to going off. You're susceptible to going off. But we're studious about it. We're careful about it. We're Dick Butkus about it. We don't want anything to distract us from this calling, from Christ crucified. What a teachable spirit. He has brought many times of learning of Him back to my mind, speaking that still small voice, teaching me something I thought was contrary to what I was learning in church, and then finding Him, validating it with Scripture. I look at my life and can see many times where I should have been either dead or in total hatred of Him. And in each case, the miracle of being brought back to a point where I felt His love even more than ever. He has been leading me patiently well over 30 years with my aircraft accident and subsequent injuries, now 26 years out. In that time, slowly but surely, He has led me to understand more and more of His purposes for us all, rather than the failure system I learned in church. Of course, He humbles me along the way so I don't get too arrogant in my position as one who is allowed to see further than my, quote, religious brothers, sisters, and friends, unquote. Keeping this short, I have gone back to the basics of what I know has been the primary learning template. I got to share this with Greg Springate. I don't know who that is, I don't think. Greg, if you're out there, I'm sorry, I forgot if I once met you. When he came up and stayed overnight on Saturday, he, Diane, and I sat and talked for hours about the reconciliation of all and some of the questions we still have. He also sometimes looks for more that is below the surface that will make us more effective in our understanding. I got to share an anecdote about Newt Rockne. There you go. I didn't know this was in here. Another football reference. Newt Rockne, the great Notre Dame coach back in the day. I got to share an anecdote about Newt Rockne when his football team was having troubles. He sat them down and said, "We need to get back to basics. This gentleman is a football." That's good. That's good. And that's what we're doing here. We're sticking to the basics. We're not doing anything fancy. Nobody wants to have any special revelations. Nobody wants to learn something amazingly new in order to make a name for themselves. No, we're going over and over the basics. We see new wrinkles in the basics. Things that we've known shine brighter because of looking into them more intently, finding something out in the Greek or the Hebrew, and boom, we see it more clearly. Yes, but we stick with the basics. This gentleman is a football. But for Dave, the basics was, it hit me, I'll just read him here, I'll quote him, it hit me that we also need to stay at the basics. This, God's purpose, is all about reconciliation. Yeah, so instead of holding up a football, remember this, this is a football, hello. We hold up instead God's revelation of the reconciliation of all, God's purpose of the eons. Remember this, the purpose of the eons? God starts everything, he continues everything, and he finishes everything. Everything ends in him. All is of God, the basics. How we need to remember this as we study scripture, process information, and chat with those around us. We lose sight of the fact of God's love for all, and we begin a journey into apologetics and why he said this or did that, which gets us away from the direction we need to be traveling, which is seeing his heart for the simple thing that it is, love. I continue to ask Father for more wisdom on how to keep it simple in my own heart. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your loving friendship. I need someone like you in my life that will love me in all the ways I need, like kicking my ass when my mind wanders. I keep you in my prayers and continue to listen and learn. I love you, dear friend, Dave. He adds a P.S. here. When Diane came home, I shared my incident with her. I want her to know that we are all still learning and are covered by his grace. Amen. What a beautiful, mature, spiritual letter by our fellow believer, Dave Ward. That's back from 2016. Man, we're all on a journey. We're all watching after each other, as we should. It's important. Now, philosophy. Humans like to think that they have all the answers to every problem in life. Depression. Why are we here? What is love? Psychological issues. It's just, humans like to think that they know everything. And that's human philosophy. Like, oh, what do you want to know about? We have that in this cabinet. We have that in that cabinet. We have this folder here. And it's all arrogance. Because basically, they really don't know a lot. They're taking guesses at things, like the theory of evolution. It's a guess. And it's wrong. And I'm thinking that most of human philosophy is a guess and wrong. Paul calls it a great enemy in Colossians chapter 2. I've spoken often of my son Paul, my youngest son, who's a big shot in the Christian religion now, believes everything I don't believe, believes everything that I hate, and hates everything that I believe. But then there's my middle son, Paul, Luke, who 1 year of college, ladies and gentlemen, 1 year of college, and everything I taught him was out the window. Why? He was a philosophy major. 1 year of that bull crap. Just drove all the God out of him. All the God was driven out of him. Everything I taught him on my knee, at conferences, teaching home Bible studies with just my family. I taught Bible studies in my family. Before I became this world's most outspoken Bible scholar, I was my family's most outspoken Bible scholars. Marcia, Gabe, Luke, and Paul. And I taught them. Ah, forget it. 1 year of college. Gone. So I guess I've proved that the Bible's not infallible. What's the verse that says, train up a child in the way he should go and he will not depart from it? Well, I'm here to tell you. Psalm 22:6. No, it's Proverbs 22:6. I can't understand how I could disprove this verse. It doesn't seem right. It's Proverbs 22:6. Train up a youth in accordance with his proper way. Even when he is old, he shall not withdraw from it. So that's an accurate translation from the Concordant version of the Old Testament. Even when he is old, he shall not withdraw from it. So that seems to indicate that he would have more of a reason or be more apt to withdraw from it at an old age, which is to say, don't worry, when he's young, he's never going to depart from it. Well, my kids were college age. My son Luke, college age. He departed from it. My son Paul departed from it at age 22, 23, 24. I don't know how old he is. People ask me, how old are your kids? I said, I have no idea. I can tell you what years they were born, because that number never changes. And if you really want to know how old they are, you will do the math. I literally tell people that. And most of them really want to know for some reason. I don't know why. So I tell them the years they were born. 86, 88, and 92. And then, okay, well, your youngest son is this, your oldest son, thanks. Philosophy. All right, now we go to James Baskin. Strange case, that. Because I heard this guy teach. I heard him teach in Pennsylvania. We had those airport fellowships. Remember at the Johnstown? We have some videos from there. Johnstown, Pennsylvania Airport. We had a little room in there. They let us go in there and do our thing. I heard James do his thing. I mean, I considered him a fun guy. Really, he was crazy. His presentations were all over the place, but very fun. Likeable guy, lovable guy. Kind of a puppy in a way, right? A loud puppy, very loud puppy. You never had any trouble hearing James Best. No, not James Best. That's another friend of mine. James Baskin. James Best is solid. Greetings to you. Shout out to Jim Best in Michigan. James Baskin. Yeah. So how someone can one day be teaching Paul as our apostle, the apostle of grace, the apostle unveiling for us the salvation of all, unveiling for us our celestial destiny, unveiling the magnitude of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And then weeks later, be saying that Paul is an enemy of the truth, he's a liar, he was not inspired, and there are only four books of the Bible we need to know about. Five books of the Bible, and that's the Torah. Isn't that what the Japanese said at Pearl Harbor? Yeah. Torah, Torah, Torah. I wonder if there's any relationship there. I'll think about that and get back with you, but Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It's like that's all you need to focus on. And as long as you do, well, those books contain the law of Moses. So James Baskin with his crazy philosophy is saying once again that everybody has to do the law, even though there's no temple. Even though Paul says that no one can do the law. There's no one righteous, no, not one. And that if you fail one aspect of the law, you fail the whole thing. But somehow you have to do this, and apparently James Baskin is doing it successfully, because if he doesn't, then you'll be annihilated. That's his teaching now. You'll be annihilated. Well, I guess so much for the salvation of all because of the gospel of grace. Now it's annihilation for offending the law of Moses. Wow. You know what? I don't think, this is just my opinion, I don't think a guy like that ever believed in the first place. So how can it be that somebody can preach on these things, can teach, but not really believe it? How is it? I don't know. Let me take a guess. This is just a guess. I'm thinking that it's a cool belief to have. To some people, it's hip, man. Salvation of all, yeah. I'm a lovey-dovey person. The salvation of all. See, James Baskin, I think, is a lovey-dovey person. So the salvation of all appealed to him because he's a lovey-dovey guy. Maybe not so much because it's based on the cross of Christ. Wait a minute, I'm just thinking this. If you're going to adhere to the first five books of the Scripture and nothing else, then Christ isn't even in the picture. He doesn't come around till later. According to my Scriptures, Christ isn't in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He doesn't make an appearance. Well, not as the Christ that came to the world to die on the cross to save the world from their sins. So, there's no teaching on the cross. Let's put it that way, in the Torah. So, how whacked is this? You can't believe in the snatching away anymore. You can't even believe in Paul anymore. He's a liar. And everything, from what I understand of this insane belief, I don't know why I'm trying to understand it, anything that's not Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy is a lie. So can anybody like that ever really be a believer in the first place? I go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, when Paul's laying out the evangel, and he says that you believe these things that I came to you and told you about, the death of Christ for sin, his entombment, and his resurrection. He says, you believe it. But then he says, apart from which you believe feignedly. So there is such a thing as feigned belief, and I don't think we realize how prevalent feigned belief is. I think we'd be shocked to know how many people are believing these things because it's cool, because it agrees with some internal thing in them that sounds good, that sounds right, because they like to be rebels, or because it puts a Jesus slant on New Age belief, which a lot of people gravitate to because it makes the soul feel good. I don't know. I think there are more reasons than we realize that people believe these things and talk about them, but they don't really internally lock them in because it's not real. It's not based on the cross of Christ. It's not based on a total giving up of flesh. In my flesh dwells no good thing. Baskin apparently never learned that because now he's back into the law of Moses where the flesh must produce everything. There's no Christ to fulfill the law for you in those first five books. There's no Christ. And there's no Christ in this philosophy either. So I don't know how a person can truly believe and be rooted and grounded in truth and then go off to such a radical, wild degree that they can go from believing in the salvation of all to, from that to the annihilation of most. From going to the gospel of the grace of God apart from law to, hey, we need to do the law and we better do it right or we're going to die and never wake up. What the hell? So beware. Just keep your eyes open. Everything we know and love from Paul is based on the cross of Christ. And it's based on no confidence in the flesh. If you're talking about no confidence in the flesh, then you're thrusting the law of Moses out the window. I'm not saying the law of Moses isn't perfect. I'm just saying that the flesh can't do it. So these things are so incompatible, I just can't see having the belief and departing from it. I think more than likely it's that a person never had the belief at all. But this isn't us. This isn't us. God has chosen us to believe. And Paul prays for us to come to further realization and revelation of the truth. Our hearts having been enlightened to know the love of God and the grace of God. To know that you know that you know. And then to never depart from it.